Anyways, I appreciate Doug's comments about the Memorial Day, and we do want to think about that. And as I was thinking about what to speak on, I thought about, you know, Memorial Day and a theme, and then I'm like, well, I don't really know what to say there. And then it dawned on me that what I came up with is has some Memorial Day kind of connection. So we'll just think about that. What I want to talk about is the armor of light. And we've talked to, I think everybody's familiar with, you know, the armor of God. And I just kind of want to lead us through that and show that there's actually maybe another level I hadn't thought about before now. And I have not got my little clicker, so, you know. My wife has it. She could do this for me. We might go through it a little faster than you expect, but okay. We may not always be prepared, but we'll get through it. I just wanted to start actually with what Mike had presented last week, just this quote about, you know, we are meant to shine. We are meant to show the glory of God. And so I want to take that sort of as a theme. And I tried to find a picture on the internet. You know, the internet has so many things, but if you want to try to find a picture that's exactly what you want, you can't find it. So this is close. I just wanted to show a fire engine coming out and all the bells and sirens and all the commotion. And just wondered how many people here wanted to be a fireman when they grew up, you know. Maybe had the hat and everything, you know, ready to go. And there's just so many things involved. You know, there's the bells, the sounds, the sirens, flashing lights. I mean, for a kid, what could be better? But there's also, you know, a reason for all this. But, you know, you've come bursting out of the firehouse and you speed to the site. There's danger and, again, the excitement. But the bottom line is you're helping the community and you could be saving someone. And when we think of Memorial Day and people serving their country and offering their lives, you know, this is a part of it too. But so I want to kind of gift that image, and I want to come back to it a little bit later. But I did get a picture of firefighter's armor. I did find a pretty good one here, you know, pretty well covered up, because obviously you don't want the fire to be able to attack, you know, any part of you. So we're going to talk about the full armor of God, and that looked like the full firefighter's armor there. But let's just read these scriptures. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And it goes on, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. It's all about in the shock of battle, in the rush of the stream, you know, being able to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled against your waist, around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I mean, think about it. You know, we are pretty well geared up and protected. There's also another scripture that sort of dovetails in with this about the armor of God. It doesn't say it so explicitly, but it talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Now, I am finding more and more as I study the Bible that in many of the things that happen in the New Testament, in many of the scriptures, it's not just a quote from the Old Testament, but there's sort of a what I call a prequel. You know, a prequel is when you make all the movies, and then you decide, you know, you want to make a little more money, and so you have to go back, because you had a conclusion, you have to go back before that, and that's the prequel. That's not exactly what this is, but it's sort of a mention in advance of some of these ideas. And so Isaiah says, he's talking about Christ here, he put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance, and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. And don't you think that, you know, Paul was thinking of that when he talked about, you know, the whole picture, the full armor of God. And in 2 Corinthians, we realize, we mentioned it in one of the earlier scriptures, but this is not, you know, where we take a sword and start, you know, slapping people around with it. This is a much much deeper type of a battle, for we live For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So, you know, we have the equipment, the armor, through the power of God to handle whatever comes along in life. And so, you know, we have to quit thinking about real weapons. You remember that Jesus asked, you know, who has a sword? And there were a couple of guys that had swords, and then, you know, one of them actually used it. And then Jesus says, you know, that's not what it's all about. Just, I was just checking, you know, didn't really want you to use them, just figuring it out. And so we have to have weapons, but they're a different sort. And so now this is the scripture that really got me to thinking along these lines. You know, you think about this full armor, and I always thought that was great, you know, the sort of the Christian Superman. He's armored up, and he's ready to defend the kingdom against the world. But in Romans, Paul says, the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So, you know, I've always thought of that armor just being sort of defensive. And yet, if there's an armor of light, it's doing something more than that. It's putting out light. It's causing people to be able to see. And that goes back to our original quote about, you know, we should shine. We should show the glory of God. And again, there's sort of a prequel when in Psalms, the psalmist says, the Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. And that's perhaps one way to think of God and some kind of a clothing of light. And so I decided just to kind of list these components. It's kind of interesting to get all of them on the same page. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness and faith and love, the feet of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, garments of vengeance, and cloak of zeal. The garments of vengeance I have a little trouble with because I'm not supposed to be going around, you know, having revenge. It's a good thing, isn't it, David? I mean, you know, we have to let that go. But when these components come together, it's almost like, okay, if you've got everything together, then this thing sort of, you know, molds together well, the seams come together into one basic unit, and then it becomes the armor of light. It's not just shining armor like you think about. It's not just for show. It's not just a physical armor, but it protects our souls. And it's something that the darkness can't conquer, as we found in the scripture in John. And I think about Saul putting on armor. I mean, David putting on Saul's armor, and it's very cumbersome, and he can't really move. And this is different. This really fits to us and protects us. And then I think it's the armor of light because it's glowing, it's radiating because of our connection with God. And so, a few scriptures here just about God. You know that He created the world. He said, "Let there be light." So. Paul says, the God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And then Jesus, of course, was the light of the world, and he came so that we wouldn't have to walk around in darkness. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And so when we think about that, we'll think about it more in a minute, but you know, this should be our goal to try to light the way, to be a light, to be someone that can shed God's goodness and His glory. So we should reflect the glory of God, really. In Hebrews 1:3, we realize that God, of course, is the infinite creator, but Christ represents Him and is the full radiance of His glory. And as Christ is a representative of God, we as Christians, if we use the name Christian, that means like Christ, then we are also a representative of Christ and thus of God. And so people ought to be able to see that in us. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves that question. Do people see the light? Do they see the light in us? Do they see, you know, that goodness of God in us? It's a very important question. And it's just interesting about how sensitive we can be to someone's light. And the question is, you know, under ideal conditions, how far away can you see the light from a single candle? And the answer, supposedly, I haven't actually done the math. I trust the internet. But it's 3.5 miles. But that's a long ways to see just a single candle flame. And it just brings to me how even if we're putting out just a little light, you know, people should be able to see that. 3.5 miles. And, well, this is a lovely. This was supposed to be a picture of a street light, just a pool of light around. You know how those happen, and I certainly hope the next picture is... I have another picture I hope comes up, but this reminds me of the joke. You remember the joke about, you know, somebody's finding someone at night, and they're looking around the street light, and they, you know, they're asked, what are they looking for? And they said, you know, I lost a ring. And they, you know, like, where did you lose it, of course? And he said, well, I lost it, you know, way back there. And if you can't see, there's a coin there. And they're saying, well, why aren't you looking over there? And they say, because the light's better over here. And so, but, you know, we end up being that way. We laugh at that. And we're like, you know, I'm not really going to, you know, I'm not going to move or anything. And we have the capability to be that light and to sort of move. And, you know, we can move the light. It's not like a street light. We're not just sitting there in a stationary. And so, you know, the other day when the power went off, actually we have power go off pretty regular, but the neighbor across the street, the transformer went out, and so it was only their lights being out. Do you ever feel like you're being personally, you know, targeted when it's only your lights that go out? Everybody around you got light. And so, but I took a flashlight over there. Actually, cell phones I found that don't really do a good job when you're really trying to look at the breaker box. So, but anyway, I'm thinking that's a similar thing where, you know, we're bringing the light to help someone to see. Yeah, this is the picture I really wanted to see. Is that, you know, you see all these pools. You've ever been on an airplane flight at night, and as you're landing, you see these parking lots, and it's just a neat picture of all the little pools of light. And together, you can light up the whole parking lot, but you can't do it with one light. And so it takes a community. It takes a church working together. And I don't know if everybody, this is not meant to be a political statement, but George Bush did re-echo someone else's thoughts about 1,000 points of light, but it's really a true thing. You know, we have to all work together. We have to all be a light. And, you know, the question is, are we adequate? You know, are we putting out the kind of light that we need to? And, of course, this is a great picture. You know, maybe God looking down sees these little sparks. You ever thought about that? You know, we're just one little spark and all of that. But when you think about, that's the real night lights of the world, and so it's 1,000 points of light there. But you can see it's not all lit up, so we sort of have that mission, I think. But God has established what he calls a kingdom of light. In giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, dominion meaning another kingdom, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then John also talks about us being the children of light. Again, not just a kingdom, but maybe a family of light. And then we have this scripture, which was also one of the keynote scriptures, really, about letting our light shine. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, your light shines before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's sort of the mission. And the question was, did you have a night light? I meant to have the light come up later, but I had this light that I probably, you know, it had one of these thermal things inside, and it makes the light train look like it's moving. So I was evidently a little bit of a pill to get to sleep. Just a static nightlight wouldn't do. So I had to have something to hypnotize me. And so, but it was neat, and I still have that. It's not that light, but that's a picture of one like it. And I remember, you know, Dad always brought home stuff from work, not stealing, but sometimes he'd bring something like this, a little light. That didn't sound right. I know it didn't sound right. I take that back, actually, but he had all this stuff. But there was a little bitty tiny light, and I remember taking that with a little battery, and I think I created the world's tiniest flashlight at the time, and it was a comfort. It was just, you know, a couple of old parts put together, and this isn't it either. I'm stealing from the internet, but it was something like that, and I just thought, what comfort there is in that. And, of course, it didn't like direct light. It just glowed, but it still was kind of a comfort. And then I think of the song. I'm not going to try to sing that song, but you know how we sang the song in Vacation Bible School, you know, this little light of mine. And that's what it's, you know, what does it say we're not going to let Satan do? Woof it out, okay. But it's important. We've got to stand. We've got to be a light. And then it talks about the fruit of the light. Paul talks about the fruit of the light, For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Back to the idea of children of light. And now there's another idea, fruit of the light. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit many times in Ephesians a little later, I think, in the same chapter. But it talks about the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And that's what, people are expecting of us if we claim to be from God. So when I think about the best description of the armor of light, I think about Matthew 25. Because, Jesus is saying, because you went out and you did all these good things for people, I recognize you. I see you as a part of my kingdom. And I just think, part of that being a light is being a blessing to people every day and making that part of our mission. Again, there's sort of a prequel from the book of Job. I was reading the book of Job and I realized, he is describing, he's defending himself, but he's describing, how he dealt with people. And it's all this, I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. That sort of fits in. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, father to the needy, took up the case of the stranger, broke the fangs of the wicked, and snatched the victims from their teeth. I mean, that's, Job had a light, and that's why Satan says, he just did that. God says, look at Job, look at what he's done, and Satan says, give him a free meal or do anything, So anyway, when we think about, back to the idea of the firefighter, we're sort of like a dark fighter. We don't have the bells ringing and things, but we somehow have to figure out the need that there are darkness in the earth and that we have to try to help. In Acts 13:47, the writer says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And this was the idea, really, of the Messiah. The Messiah would come and there would be a dawn of light, and it would spread out across the world. The Messiah would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. So like fighting fire, are we called to fight the darkness? And then we're sort of called to rescue that. We're called out of darkness into his wonderful light. And it's our job to call others and to bring them into the light. It's kind of like rescuing them from the pool or from the quicksand. And in a sense, it's sort of a heroic thing, but in another sense, it's just being a light. It's not necessarily being heroic. It's just being there and being there for people. And Paul says in Romans 2:19, you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in dark. And so, we have to be transformed by that light again and be a light for others. We talked about bringing the dawn. That's a great image, I think. If you've ever been out camping, cold, wet, hungry, there's something about the dawn. It's getting better. It's going to be better when that sun comes up. So, anyway, this is the way Christ was described to us. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. Again, another link to the armor with the feet. So, we're getting close. If I can get the clicker. Oh, there it goes. And, there's always people that are going to fight against it. There's people that are going to try to extinguish your lamp. We just have to be strong enough to fight against that. So, just a summary, what I think of as our mission, and that's to recognize the light and admire it, embrace it, the truth of good, the love of God, make sure we understand that and agree with it. And then to accept it inside of us and let that grow, let it transform our hearts and our beings. And then to let it shine to combat the darkness, to be a guide to others, even though they're fighting against it. And so we need to always be working to try to grow the kingdom, to make the kingdom enlarge. And so then as a final thought, it sort of contrasts the hero. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be like, a hero, heroic measures to bring this light, but there's also this idea of just being there, just being the light, just being good, just doing good to people. You don't have to be aggressive in a sense about that. You should just be the kind of person people know that is following God. And so, it's every day. It's every day. That light, if the light goes out for a little while, what do people think? It wasn't genuine to begin with. So we have to do every day work to keep that light shining. If there's anyone here this morning that in any way needs to show that they need to be reignited or, you know, get that flame ramped up a little bit, to become a Christian for the first time and to embrace the light, as we said, won't you come now as we stand and sing this song?